Hello, and welcome to the 6D Testing and Analysis Podcast. In today's episode, Bob Farrell of Farrell Marcom engages in a conversation with 6D President and Senior Technical Consultant Mike Collier and Vice President and Senior Technical Consultant Garth Wiley to discuss the changing world of simulation and product development, specifically how engineers can acquire unknown loads for simulation models. Let's have a listen.
Before we get started here, before we jump in, why don't you take just a short bit here and tell us a little bit about 6D.
6D is an engineering services company, a consulting company. We do work in the mechanical engineering field. We help with design validations, both from a simulation and a testing standpoint. But we also solve problems, structural problems, vibration, stress, fatigue failures, and so forth. Well, we're a small company, but we have some veterans who have been around for more decades than I'd like to count. We've seen a lot of things. We are always learning, and we do our very best to provide value to our customers to help train their staffs as well as perform service work for them. And again, it's in the mechanical engineering field, structures, structural dynamics, vibrations, loads, fatigue, and so forth. We also do a lot of work with regards to product development in the design validation area.
Mike and Garth, with today's accelerated product development process, as much of it is digital, and I think everybody pretty much knows what the advantages of that are, but what are some of the challenges associated with that?
Of course, simulation has come a long way, and we try to do as much as we can with our models. And we use testing as we need to supplement that. One of the challenges often can be, what are the loads on the structure? And sometimes that's pretty well known for certain types of vehicles, structures, or whatever. But sometimes it's not well known, or sometimes we have to make some pretty major approximations and are not comfortable with that. In cases of where people are trying to find out what the loads really are, sometimes they try to directly measure the loads with a load cell and so forth. And that has some disadvantages.
That's a good point. So why is this, though?
One big reason is that, number one, it's very expensive to do, to modify or to integrate commercial load cells into a package. It kind of requires that you modify the structure, which can change the stiffness and its characteristics.
Well, one thing we could add to that is that if the load is very simple in one direction or one place, maybe a load cell will work. But so often the loads are complex and multi-directional, and you can't measure all of those with load cells. As Mike said, too expensive, too complicated. And here we have a chance to get the complete load definition on the structure coming in from multiple points, multiple directions, and so forth.
So with those challenges, what are the consequences to that?
Well, if you don't have the loads right, your model's not going to be very accurate, even if it's a very high-fidelity model. The best model without the proper loads is, misleading or even worthless. So it becomes very important to get that well-defined. And what we really like to see at 6D is something that relates to how the customer is going to be using the product, getting loads that cover the usage case for that particular product, as opposed to something that's highly idealized like a 1G load or just a simple twist load.
6D has obviously been involved in a lot of different projects over the years. Do you have any examples of product applications or structural failures because of this?
One area comes to mind is the construction industry, where maybe a severe load could be a blade impacting a rock, or loading a truck from a front-end loader and the dirt going into the truck. It's a fairly complicated and not an easily represented load. And in the mining industry, we've seen it with all sorts of mining implements, but one example we've looked at recently is a ore crusher, a rock crusher. And there you can have the loads be pretty hard to predict, and with all these big rocks floating around in there. So trying to get a good sampling of what the real load spectrum is much more accurate than just guessing for a certain G load or a certain weight.
Well, one thing that we have done a lot of is, basically troubleshooting where products that haven't been properly validated in the design phase and get out into the field and develop issues. And then it become very expensive to correct that action.
problem of having one's reputation tarnished. And we've seen a lot of them in the headlines lately of great companies running into serious problems that have brought their products into question.
So I guess many times the solution to that is either a redesign or some modification to the design, and I imagine that can get pretty expensive.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what's the answer to all this? How does 6D kind of get around all these issues, and you know, what technologies or what applications or best practices are you employing to kind of help, you know, with this problem?
Well, our customers are interested in getting the most they can out of their simulation models. And that's where it saves them time and helps them to avoid problems from the very beginning. And we've been working with a company called Wolfstar that provides a product called TrueLoad. And this allows us to use the finite element model to determine where to make some strain gauge measurements in such a way that we are literally making the product a load cell, or else a subsystem of that product, a load cell. And so from testing, we can essentially back calculate the loads using those strain gauges. We can back calculate the loads that were really applied to the structure. Then we take those loads and apply it to the model again, and we get a complete definition of the stress field all over the model, resulting from the actual loads that the structure has encountered. And in addition, we get a better correlation of the model in the sense that we've measured some strains and now we've predicted some strains, and we can compare the two to make sure we've gotten all the important loads and to make sure the models had sufficient fidelity. And one other point there is that sometimes when we put strain gauges down in a validation activity, we want to put them in the hot spots so we can predict fatigue. But we have to know where the hot spots are. Well, sometimes we know that from experience, but our model can actually tell us that. If we have a complete definition of the stress field on the structure coming from the model, we can use that to identify some of the hot spots. And then in the final validation testing, we can get strain gauges placed in the exact places where we want to see the worst case situation of the stress field and the structure.
So you mentioned TrueLoad. Is that an added step for the analyst, or how does that kind of work into the workflow of a typical analysis program?
Well, yes, there's an added step. But first of all, it's making use of the model that already exists. So we do have that added step, but we get the benefit of more confidence in our simulations. And that becomes very important because so often we have to do very extensive validation testing in areas that maybe we don't have the confidence we'd like to have in our models. And so very often there's the opportunity to make the validation testing that's done at the final step more efficient, more directed, and hopefully less costly.
I think one of the, in my mind, one of the big things that it helped you with, in a typical scenario where we would be basically taking a model, using that model to come up and looking at it and manually going through the model and coming up with hot spots for gauge locations, and if we don't know what real loads are or how good the model is, we come up with dozens and dozens of strain gauge locations that basically becomes very expensive, where TrueLoad helps us to focus in on key locations, minimizing a lot of times drastically the data we have to take in the field. An example of that is, we're working on a project where without TrueLoads, you know, the customer was concerned. We came up with like 200 strain gauge locations that we would need to measure in the field. By using true loads, we could boil that down to a fourth of that without any trouble and really come out with more information.
So I guess that also applies to any unattended or remote testing projects where you might be involved in. You're directing the client as to where they should kind of focus their strain gauging efforts. Is that a true assessment there?
Well, yeah. I mean, we can use this in our troubleshooting. It doesn't have to be just in validation. We've had projects where, we like to know the loads, and so basically, we, take the model. In a lot of cases, the model's already built, but we'll take that model, use the TrueLoad software to say, okay, what are the key gauge locations we need, and then apply that to come up with the location and basically helping us understand the root cause. Then the real advantage is okay. Once we've got that, we've got the data, now we come up with what are some modifications to make for corrective action. Now we've got a good model that we can evaluate those before we actually implement them in the field.
Maybe one thing that could be added to that is that sometimes some of our projects are teaming efforts where we might provide some of the test equipment and our customer might do a lot of the work. And we have the ability to operate that test equipment remotely. And we don't always have to have one of our engineers on site. And it just depends on the mix of the work and how that's done. And in addition to that, just getting the initial data for the loads environment, very often we'll provide a test kit that could be put on the machine or the vehicle or whatever it may be, and take data for a week, a month, a day, whatever it makes sense, to get a good representation of the loadings that particular system may encounter. And that can all be done remotely without an engineer on site. We can get the data uploaded to the cloud. The data can be looked at pretty much in real time. And we can be sharing the progress of that with all the stakeholders, with our customers, and so forth.
Another big advantage I don't think we've touched on is basically the next generation design. You have very valuable information, the loads, that you can apply to the next generation. And also then you can apply to any kind of redesign. Not only can you find the hot spots, but you can also, where are you over-designed? Where can you take material out? How can you reduce cost? You have the tools then to really evaluate those analytically.
Yeah, so if you're a company, a manufacturer who's concerned about sustainability, for example, this might be a way to talk about dematerialization, for example. This might be a way to combine parts or take a look at unneeded parts or tweak the design to kind of be more eco-conscious, I guess. Might be another area where this fits in other than troubleshooting and design validation. And with regard to TrueLoad, the benefits, as I've heard from you, are the capturing of historical data. You've got more confidence in the simulation and more accurate results.
Those are some of the major benefits, but we also provide with this a better way to validate the simulation itself. And so it can be validated based on the stresses we've predicted, based on the loads we've determined. And those could be compared to actual test data. So that provides an additional level of model validation and confidence building.
One thing that kind of struck me is that simulation has really evolved since the latter part of the 70s, 80s. And from day one, the question was always, what are my loads? I can build a beautiful model, but if I don't know my loads, kind of behind the eight ball.
So often in a model, we're forced to oversimplify the loadings that the structure sees because it's easy to calculate if you don't exactly know the loads. As an example, maybe a 1G or a 3G load applied to a structure or a vehicle, or maybe a simple twist load that might be applied, when really the loading environment that system sees is much more complicated than that.
So traditionally, these loads were, I'll say acquired, but I think they were plugged in based on experience, maybe some older data that was collected. Is that pretty much how it was up until, you know, a couple decades ago?
Well, some companies know their loads very well. They've put a lot of time and effort into it. And we were talking to one automotive manufacturer that mentioned that they'll do a simulation of a vehicle and derivatives of that and test that vehicle. And derivatives of that vehicle would then be purely validated by simulation. But most companies can't do that.
The reason there is they've spent the money up front, you know, to buy the $10,000 transducer and spend the millions to basically modify. And matter of fact, I was involved in that. I spent most of my 90s in basically doing exactly that, getting what we referred to as RLDA, road load data acquisition, for the automotive companies. They could afford it. They could justify it with their volume. Today's customer, you know, he may only have a small volume. He can't afford, you know, to spend millions basically getting the loads. So his best alternative is right now is to basically build and test. And with the TrueLoads, we feel that we can get the information he needs and actually save him money.
So you mentioned having been involved in RLDA in the 90s. If someone were designing a new version of, let's say, a pickup truck today, would that data from the 90s still be applicable, or is that so far outdated because of new models and revisions that really it's just bad data now, or bad guidance now?
Well, they're still doing some load testing, not as extent as they were, you know, and they basically now have taken that data and, you know, they've integrated that into the proving grounds. So that now they have the proving grounds to use. But the answer to your question is, you know, most of that is still good data.
So there is no expiration date on it as far as that kind of goes. It's not, yeah, I understand, I mean, it's constantly being updated,
yeah.
But
right. The same, the loads, I mean, but they're applied, those loads are applied to the new design.
So, you know, we talked about it a lot today. One of the questions that comes to mind to me is for the typical analyst who may be listening, does this whole thing represent a big change in the way they operate? How does it affect them? You know, they've got a lot of work to do. Is this going to be something that requires a change in methodology, a change in how they work? How's it going to impact them?
Well, it should help them significantly kind of reduce their workload, because traditionally today, let's say we've got a design. Right now, they would exercise that model as best they could, you know, apply 1G vertical or, you know, 1G lateral or maybe 2G's vertical. And you know, define some hotspots. We would go out, then test it. You know, we may find that it's under-designed in these locations, so now they're back to the drawing board, not knowing any more than what they knew before, other than the fact that is a hotspot, where today, if we could use TrueLoads, not only would we come back with, yeah, there's a hotspot there, but, okay, here are the loads you can apply to the model, and evaluate the rest of the model, and then have the data you need to do your redesign and be comfortable that you're going to have a good product at the end.
Yeah, using the TrueLoads software is, yes, it is a little bit of an additional step, but it ties in well with the simulation programs. It provides a good graphical user interface, and it also ties in very well with the fatigue life prediction programs. FE-Safe would be one example. So it is, another step, but it is pretty well connected with both the initial simulation at the beginning, and then if you're into fatigue predictions, the fatigue prediction software at the end of the process.
So if somebody has got some questions or just want to learn a little bit more about anything we've talked about today, including 6Ds, services along these areas, how do you recommend that they get those answers?
I've always said talk's cheap. We'd be more than happy to talk to anybody about their needs, answer any of the questions they have, help them put together as cost-effective a program as we can.
Give us a call. Email us. There's a link in the website to contact us. And like Mike says, we're happy to talk to anyone about really any of the issues or concerns they have. Sometimes they turn into programs where we can help, sometimes not. But we don't mind having the conversation, so don't hesitate to contact us.
Thanks for listening to the 6D Testing and Analysis Podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes and interesting topics. For more information or questions, check out the 6D website at www.6dtest.com.